We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Anyway, hey, we're going to jump to basketball real quick. Coleman says, what are your thoughts on Mike Bray being involved in the process of hiring the new coach? We talked about this a little bit last week when this first went down, because he mentioned it in his post or in his press conference announcing his retirement, that he's going to be involved, or he's going to have a say, or he's willing, or whatever he said. So we talked about it. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Mike Krzyzewski has earned the right to be a part of finding his replacement. Correct. Dean Smith had earned the right to have a say in who's going to be his replacement. With all due respect to Coach Bray, who's done a lot of good things in Notre Dame, he should have no say on who's going to replace him. There's no way he can possibly be objective about this.
Right.
Because some of his former players are going to be up for the job. There's no way he's going to be able to say, no, don't pick, you know, this former player, Chris Quinn or Martin Inglesby or whoever else. Don't pick them, pick this other guy that I don't know,
right?
Who's got a way better resume and would be better fit for that. There's no way he can be objective about that. So if they want to have him be like a token part of the conversation, fine, but he should have no say on
the
when
final decision
or even who the finalist should be. Right. I mean, no. Now, yes, no, I'm sorry. There's very few coaches that have earned the right to be able to handpick their replacement or have any say in their replacement. And Coach Bray is just not one of those guys. I mean, there should be a big giant ring that has the word national and then championship here. That mm-hmm. should be part of your resume if you're going to have claim
absolutely
to that.
Yep. And that's basically exactly what I said. If I'm Jack Swarbrick, I'll show him the respect, be like, hey, who do you think we should talk to? You can give me whatever list. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it, but you can give me whatever list you want. I'll go, you know, maybe I'll go talk to those guys. Maybe I won't, whatever.
Sure.
I will at least go have that conversation, but that's where it ends. Like I don't, that decision is Jack's, and whoever Jack decides needs to be on that committee or however it's going to work. It's not Mike's. Like it's just not. So yeah, I agree with you completely.
Plus, I mean, he's shown that he doesn't quite know what to do to get a team to be successful in this current makeup of college basketball.
Correct. Agreed.
Otherwise he'd have done it himself.
Right. Right. Call Me Ty has a very interesting question here. Brian says, what position group do you think changes the most top to bottom from week 0 to week 12?
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
If I had to guess, it would be defensive line.
Okay.
Because I think early on in week 0 against Navy, you're going to see a lot of veterans and, you know, I see Nana and guys like that. And that's fine. They're good players. But I have a feeling by the end of the year, we're going to see a lot more of the young guys out there ball and making plays. That's
okay.
Mine.
Okay. I know this is what everybody wants me to say, but I could definitely see it potentially being the case. And that would be linebacker, you know, potentially.
I just have no confidence that literally Maris can't be any worse than he was this year. I mean, literally can't play worse than that.
Agreed.
And yet they still kept trotting him out. He had a whole month to prepare for bowl game. I know Nolan Ziegler and Jalen Steen both got a ton of reps before the bowl game. And how many reps did Nolan Ziegler get in the game? Zero. Yeah. While Maris is out there ripping face masks off, getting penalties, being out of position. And it's just like, Like, I have no faith that Al Golden's going to make the necessary changes. I hope you're right.
But
seriously, I hope if it doesn't happen by week one, Vince, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
If the first two games, they trot out the same guys, and I just don't see, it's not going to change.
And you might see you and having Navy be your first game is a little bit deceiving as well, because I don't think you're going to, you might not see your normal.
Was terrible against Navy last year.
Oh, I know. I'm aware.
Why would we need to see him in that game? Right. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. And if he doesn't play against Navy, it's not going to be that he's never going to play, because he could very well start the very next week, is what I'm saying.
Good point.
We'll see. But you never know. Maybe there's a youth movement halfway through the season, but I'm not holding my breath based
on it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Exactly. Exactly correct.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. DJ was out. He's in for two today. He was watching your previous show. He says, Brian, on today's show, talking about O-line, you mentioned some of the freshmen and two-year guys. What about some of the other guys buried on the depth chart? Hearing anybody making strides?
There aren't a lot of guys like that. Yeah. I mean, the reality is because they had that two-man class in 2020 of Tosh Baker and Michael Carmody, right? Bad. And then, you know, the 2019 class is Zeke and Kristoffic, and that's it, right? The 2018 class is gone. And then the 2022 class or the 2021 class, I mean, we talked about Blake Fisher. We talked about Rocco. I don't see Caleb Johnson being a guy that moves the needle. You know, I don't see Pat Coogan being that guy, just in my opinion. And then who's the fifth guy? Oh, Joe Alts, the other guy from that group. So who else would it be besides the freshman and the year two guys? I mean, there's not a lot of other options. And so I don't really see anybody. And then, you know, we could talk about Tosh Baker, who I was told by several sources had a really good year last year, really developed, really learned a lot under Coach Easton, but he's buried behind two future top 15 NFL draft picks at tackle right now. So, you know, hopefully Tosh sticks it out for one more year with knowing that, hey, there's a pretty decent chance that Joe Walt's going to be in the top 10 of the NFL draft next year. And then Tosh would then have a chance to have two more years to start after that.
Yeah.
So, hopefully that's the case. We'll see.
All right, we're picking your history mind here. Gavin says, if you could add one offensive and one defensive player from Notre Dame's history to this year's team to make this a title team, who are you taking? He says, for me, it's Rocket and the honorable Alan Page.
So the way I handle all these, Vince, I never pick guys I never saw play.
Right.
So, like, I never saw Joe Montana play at Notre Dame. I never saw Alan Page play. I didn't even see Alan Page. I wouldn't even know enough to see Alan Page playing the NFL.
I know, right?
So I can't pick. I can only pick guys that I've seen play. And it's a no-brainer for Rocket. Now, look, Jerome Bettis, Reggie Brooks, there's been some great players. But, like, that makes a strength an even stronger area. Like, right. I want to take somebody that's going to make an area that's not elite. And, you know, because I could say Zach Martin, I could say Quentin Nelson. But the offensive line, I expect to already be good.
Sure.
Love Tony Rice, but he's not a modern player. I mean, Ricky Waters is a guy you could think of. But again, running back's already still pretty good. Rocket changes the game on the perimeter of your offense,
yes, sir,
in a way that nobody else could. And so he'd be one. Sam Hartman would have six touchdowns this year on throws that he threw behind the line of scrimmage, at least, to Rocket. And then defensively, if I'm talking about, you know, guys that I have seen – oh man, like there's Jalen Smith, a healthy Jalen Smith on this defense would be pretty nasty. Like think of there's you could go Harrison Smith at safety. That'd be a good one. You could go Justin Tuck at defensive end.
That's my other
option. I think Justin Tuck is a pass rusher. Like think of a better version of Isaiah Foskey.
Yeah.
You know, but it's hard like not to go with a healthy Jalen Smith.
Like a Bryant Young or a Chris Zorich, like somebody in the middle, like the defensive line.
Bryant Young would be a good one. Yeah, that'd be because I think Chris Zorich would have a little tougher time.
Because he's smaller.
In today's era. I mean, he's like, what was Chris Zorich's size at Notre Dame? I don't think it was very big.
He'd be undersized in today's
world. Yeah, I mean, he was 6'1", 282 is what he was listed as in the pros. He was like 260, 270. I mean, he's Howard Cross's size.
Sure.
And he'd be a great player, but I just would rather take the 6'3", 300-pound guy in Bryant Young.
Yep.
But you know, just Jalen Smith is in the modern day. Look, if you have a linebacker that can move like Jalen Smith in today's game, I mean, you're going to be
coached properly in a proper defense. Well,
that's not necessarily a given. But significantly better than the guy that coached him.
Yes, yes.
That's for sure.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. Hey, we got another super chat from Brock. Thank you very much, Brock. He says, do you think that J.D. Price can be a starter / elite runner this year from what we've seen and heard?
No. Well, could he be? Yes, he can. Will he be? I don't think so. JD had a chance last year to become that guy.
Yeah.
From what I've been told by multiple sources, JD was their best running back in the spring. However, his injury opened up the door for Audric and Logan to kind of step in and say, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
And so that gap has widened now.
Yes.
And you're also talking about a guy that's coming back from an Achilles injury. I don't want to push him to become the guy in year one, because if you hurt it again, he's done. He'll never be the same guy. So you got a year of eligibility with him, like, you know, just work him back slowly, find a role for him. I think it's going to be very hard for him to have missed all last year. Let Audric and Logan combine for over 1,700 yards and what is it, 14, 15 touchdowns just rushing alone. It's going to be hard, as good as he is, to then come back from an injury and beat those guys out. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
All right. I'm going to ask a follow-up question, and this is going to be prognosticating into the future, obviously. But if Logan Diggs and Audric Estime and Chris Tyree, for that matter, they take the step that you envision that they could and should take going into this year, right? All three of them gone, two gone, one gone, especially with the talent that's going to be in the room moving forward. How do you see the future of this room looking? Because it's obviously crowded going into the 23 season.
I think two of the three are gone after next year.
Okay.
I think one of the two, potentially all three. I think there's a greater chance that all three of them are gone than two of them come back.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
I think at best one of them comes back. I think one of the sophomores will go pro, and then I think Chris Tyree leaves, whether that's to also go pro or to go somewhere as a fifth-year guy.
Yeah.
Right, and be the guy. If Chris Tyree is used correctly, I could see him going pro.
Sure.
Because he's going to have, you know, decent amount of production. He'll probably have 1,000 career rushing yards by then. He'll make a lot of plays in the pass game. He'll have shown he can turn kicks. What else would he have to prove somewhere else? He's not a lead back. He's not a 20. We've never said that. He's not a 20 touch guy, and no one's going to give him that opportunity and it work. So I could see him leaving as well with a Notre Dame degree in hand. So I could see near where all three of them. And in that case, okay. Best of luck, fellas. Y'all did great. And hey, Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love and Jabron Payne, it's your turn now.
Correct.
And then, you know, Aniesa Williams will be stepping in as a true freshman then, who maybe they'll get another back. But, you know, as long as Jadarian Price is healthy, if you're going into 2024 with a junior Jadarian Price and a sophomore Jeremiah Love at running back and Jabron Payne is your number three, okay, I'm going to feel just as good as that backfield as I do about the one they got now. You know, as far as your trio. So I think the future at running back looks incredibly bright.
Oh, absolutely. Bright. And if things go the way Notre Dame fans, you know, hope that they go, then all three of those guys are going to have productive seasons. And at the running back position, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit. At the running back position, you've kind of got like X amount of carries in your lifetime as a running back, right? And it just feels like the ceiling for running backs as far as longevity in the NFL. It's capped. I mean, so hey, man, go get it. Like, if you think that you're ready and you've put enough production together in college, I would have no problem with all three of those guys going to the next level, because that means they had a really productive right. season at Notre Dame. So,
right.
yeah, I agree with you. I would feel real good about the future of that room, too.
I would predict one of them to come back.
Okay.
I think the perfect world scenario for Notre Dame is two of the three leave.
Okay.
And let's just say Audric, because he was had more touches, more yards. Just it could be Logan, but let's just say Audric leaves and Tyree leaves. Logan Diggs comes back. I mean, could you imagine Logan Diggs, Jadarian Price, and Jeremiah Love as your right. as your trio?
Right.
You've got those two guys that are more explosive than the group that the one together the year before. Chris Tyree gets replaced by a 4-5 inch taller version of himself. You know what I mean? With a little bit more elusiveness. I mean, yeah, sign me up. You know what I mean?
Right.
No doubt. Right. If they can get one of the sophomores to come back, the current sophomores, if just one of them comes back in 2024, Notre Dame would be loaded. Yeah. Absolutely loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Again in 2024.
Again. Yes, exactly. And for the foreseeable future, to be honest. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Rick Doyle says, Mayer or Bowers, who has the best NFL career? I know Bowers isn't leaving Georgia yet, but with all the talk that Bowers is better or is being the best tight end, I'm curious what you guys think. I'd go with Mayer.
I mean, Rick, this is going to sound like a cop-out, but it's really not. Tell me who they'd get drafted by.
Yeah, huge.
And that's so much into, you know, if Michael Mayer goes to a franchise that doesn't really use the tight end, then it won't be him. If Brock Bowers goes to a team that doesn't really feature the tight end, it won't necessarily be him, because here's the thing. Just because a GM thinks a guy can do something for you doesn't mean the coach is going to think that. There's a lot of stubborn coaches in the NFL, just like college, where, hey, I don't care if you drafted this guy in the first round. That's not going to fit my offense. My offense is my offense.
Right.
You'd think guys would be better than that, but they're not. So it just depends on where they go and, you know, what do you define as better? I would imagine Brock Bowers will probably have more yards than Michael Mayer, most likely, just the style of tight end that he is. Doesn't mean he's better. Who's going to have the greater impact? We'll see. The thing about Brock Bowers that would concern me a little bit is he's not a real big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his speed is great at the in the college level, but will that translate as well to the next level when he's going against Micah Parsons and not some kid from Vanderbilt?
Sure.
Right? That's going to where Michael Mayer is going to just still be bigger than anybody he's going up against.
Right. His game translates better to the NFL.
Yeah.
It just does.
Well, depending on where he goes, right? Well,
okay, fair enough.
Most of the tight ends that are great are 6'4", 6'5", and, you know, they're stronger guys and things like that. But, you know, Brock Bowers, you could also point to the Zach Ertzes and guys like that and say, well, Brock Bowers is a better version of those guys. Okay, it's true. But it just depends on where they go. But I think they're both going to be really good, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't really lose out with either one. Of course, I'm going to take Mayer. I think his game translates a little bit better to the NFL. But again, it all depends on where they go. If both of them go to a team that doesn't utilize the tight end very often, it's going to be neither. I mean, you know, so it just all depends on how that shakes out. Okay, Lucas says, looking back at the last two previous signed offensive line classes, is there a player similar to Joe Alt? Not in terms of All-American potential, but one that can far exceed your recruiting rankings.
Well, I mean, I had all those guys ranked kind of high with their upside grade, right? Same with Joe Wall. But if I'm going to say based on their – so the way that I do it, Lucas, and I don't know if you know this, but I give two grades. I give the current grade and then the upside grade. The guy that I think has the greatest chance to surpass his current grade is the guy that I had ranked lower than most, and that's Joe Otting. You know, because I need to see him. He'd be the most comparable to Joe Walt because he's an undersized guy that's really athletic, that's got to put on weight and get to that point. But I love Joe Otting's film. Love that kid's film. He's just 260 pounds. And anytime you have a guy that's got to put on minimum 30 pounds, Vince, there's always the concern that will he have the same level of athleticism once he gets there? Same thing with like Emil Wagner, who's not part of it. Well, I guess Emil Wagner would be there, but Emil Wagner's grade was still kind of high. But not as high as I had others because the others factor in the upside already into his ranking. I don't. My upside grade is his own thing. but he could potentially be one. But Joe Otting is the most obvious to me because he's the guy that has the big current to floor upside difference.
Okay.
And that's usually what it comes down to for me.
It ain't rocket science. Is the staff still recruiting JOK's little brother? Haven't heard anything about him in forever.
Well, he's a 2025 guy. So he's still another year away.
Okay.
So, yes, I believe they are still recruiting him, but it's a little too early for that. I want to bring something up here real quick, Vince, from Salty as a follow-up. He says, why would a team that doesn't use the tight end waste a first-round pick on either of them? Because GMs and coaches don't always agree on things. That's why. We see that all the time where a GM loves a kid, brings him in, and the coach is like, well, we're not building our system around that guy. You know, and so they don't do it. It happens all the time. So you draft a guy that you think is a great player, and the coach says, well, he doesn't fit our system, so he's just not going to make a lot of plays. That's why.
It's nuts.
That's why.
Just ridiculous that they can't be on the same page. But
and I mean, but Vince, happens
all the time. Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you. It happens all the time. It's amazing how often it happens. But
yeah,
the fact that it does is just ridiculous to me. Gavin says, what are your guys' thoughts on Marcus Stokes being basically blacklisted from the Power Five and ending up at West Florida?
We have a no politics policy on this show.
Correct. I don't know who this is, so I'm going to have to
say. This is the kid, is a white quarterback that was recording himself rapping to a song, and then he used the
N-word. Oh, gotcha.
Number one, you're an idiot.
Agree.
And, you know, like I'm not going to get into is it appropriate or not. I just don't even care to get into that conversation. My only response really is this is a lesson for you young people that think you have to freaking tweet and post every inane thought that comes to your freaking head.
Yep.
Okay? Stop. Most people don't care.
Right.
Okay? And the people that are watching are just looking for you to do something stupid so they can crush you.
Correct.
So I'm not, I don't know the kid. I don't know if it, for him, it's just that he, him and his buddies sing this stuff all the time and his buddies don't look like him. I have no clue. For him and the people he hangs around, that may be an acceptable word. I have no clue. No clue. But what are you doing? You're a quarterback and you're not smart enough to know that's probably not something that I should put out on Twitter.
Right.
You know, like, whatever.
That's a cautionary tale. I agree.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to say, I don't have anything to say about how he's treated, whether it was right or wrong. It's just, that's a lose-lose conversation to have. Correct. And it starts getting into politics and culture, and this is a football show. And all I'm going to say is, young people, start keeping your opinions a little bit more to yourself if you want to have a future of doing anything.
Correct.
Because you will always have this stuff. I mean, do you remember what they tried to do to Josh Allen a couple years ago? Remember that when he got drafted? Same thing. When he's like 14 years old, he put some rap lyrics on a song and it, you know, and the people, you know, you look like that, so you can't say that. Okay. Okay.
Right. Yep. This is actually a conversation I had with my son. It's like, you have to be smarter than
that. Didn't they try to do something like that to Kyler Murray as well? Like, didn't they find something that Kyler Murray tweeted and he was like 13 or 14? They tried to.
People have no lives to go back 7-8 years or whatever it happens to be and try to find things that are offensive or stupid or whatever. You name it, right? Just to dive into stuff. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Number one, that they're doing it. And number two, that people jump on it and they're like, yeah, this guy's a bad person because of that.
Some things are worth jumping on, right?
Sure. Well, sure.
But a lot of this is just like, he's an idiot, right?
Right.
But. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. All right. Here we go. From Milton Fan. He says, what player or unit group improved the most during the season?
On Notre Dame? I mean, it's offensive line.
Okay.
Clearly. I mean, they were bad the first two games.
They started out.
And by the end of the year, they were outstanding. I mean, receivers got better. The production didn't get better receiver, but the play got better.
That's where I was going to go because from start to finish, you're not wrong about offensive line. I wasn't even thinking about the offensive line because I just automatically think that they're good. But from where the receiver started to where they ended up was like,
Yeah.
A big difference.
A lot of people don't think that's true because they just look at production. Well, you beat Clemson, you didn't throw for 100. It doesn't mean guys weren't getting open.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't throw the dang ball to yourself.
Right.
The perfect example is Braden Lindsay. We all year we're saying this guy's, and then what happens in the one game he has, you know, end of the year, he's quarterback one throwing deep ball and he smokes South Carolina secondary for a touchdown.
Right.
And it's just like, dude, he's been doing that all year.
Right.
It just, they don't throw him the ball.
I just have a feeling he's going to be sitting in his corner office at the whatever job he just took, and he's going to be watching.
Where he'll be making a lot of money.
Of course. Right? Oh, 100%. That's why I said corner office.
He's a smart kid.
Yeah, right. That's why I said corner office, because he's going to be doing just fine. But he's going to be watching these games on a Saturday where he's putting in extra work and he's doing his thing. He's going to watch a game on his computer, and he's going to see Sam Hartman just chucking the ball deep all day, and he's going to be like, son of a gun. Mm-hmm. Like, where was this?
Yep.
Oh, I feel bad for the man. I do. But he got his degree and he's doing things, so good for him. But yeah, that's gonna be super frustrating. All right. Thank you everybody for participating.
Hold on. There's a couple of those I want to get to that you get to, Vince.
Pull them up. What do you got?
So I don't know why you pass some of these, man.
Well, one of them I was gonna put into rapid fire.
Okay.
Team one. I was gonna add that one.
But here's a couple others. Number one, here we go. Okay. I have this one. Brian and Vince, what are your Super Bowl picks from Irish Chi-Town?
Oh, man. You know, I definitely don't have a dog in the fight either direction. I'm going to go with Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Kansas City. They are – I just think they have a lot of talent. Obviously, the Eagles have a ton of talent on defense. So it's going to be the Eagles' defense versus Kansas City's offense. Which wins that battle? I'm going to take Kansas City's offense, so I will take Kansas City.
I don't know who I'm picking. I don't watch NFL enough. I know who I'm rooting for, and I'm rooting for the Chiefs for a million reasons. I've said this before. I don't like Nick Sirianni. I don't know why. The dude just rubs him the wrong way. He just strikes me as a giant you-know-what. I like coaches with energy and all that, but there's a line that you can cross where you're just kind of being a D-bag at that point in time. That's the energy he gives me is that, you know, and it's like he's doing an interview with his kids, and he's like, getting on his skin. Like, dude, you brought your little children out to the press conference. What were you expecting them to do? Like, wait there, say, yes, thank you. I'll wait for any of your questions. Like, what you getting mad at your kids for, man? Like, you brought, let them be your kids, you know?
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is. But they were adorable little kids, though. They were so excited to be up on that stage with him. It was funny. But did you see his daughter, like, mocking him?
Was she really?
Yeah, it was so funny. He looks at her, he's like, you know, and it's like, well, you didn't know she was going to do that? You know your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's I also just don't like Philly at anything. I don't like Philadelphia. I don't like Philly fans that much. They're just like, I don't want them to win at anything. And they're going to burn the city if they do. I mean, they do that every time they win something. They just burn stuff. You know, they're like Michigan State fans. It's like, you know. Yeah.
They just burn stuff.
Yeah. They just burn stuff. So I did want to bring this one up from Anthony Salmi. He says, how about letting the IB fans send in topics for Friday Rapid Fire Show? It would help the staff and give IB Nation some skin in the game. So that won't be for Rapid Fire, but there is something that I have in the works that I won't talk too much about. That's going to be IB After Dark is eventually going to become a thing. Ooh. And it'll be somewhat geared towards that. So there'll be some topics that I'll discuss and then some fan pick topics. So it'll be something along those lines, and it'll be decided by people that are on the message board.
Okay.
So I wanted to bring this up because that is something. I don't know when we're going to launch it because we got a lot of other things we're working on right now. I'm still trying to hire an editor. That got pushed back a week because of some stuff that came up with the family and the business and all that. But yeah, it's definitely one of those things that we are going to do. I just don't know when.
Okay.
So, or if it'll be live. It may just be a thing where I record and put up at night, but it may be live. So there's a lot of things to work out, Anthony. So I don't know when but it'll be part of it will be geared towards what do y'all want to talk about? And so, yeah, so I just wanted I wanted to speak on that.
Okay. Sounds good to me. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.